Hello, my name is Xavier Mercado, and this is Spearhead Conversations. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, David Kelly. He's a musician as well as a clothing designer.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a man of many hats, you know. Yeah.
I've seen the apparel. I've heard the music. The man has a fire on the rise.
Appreciate that, man, big time.
But, you know, somehow, some way, our paths have intersected, and here we are.
I think that's a 6 degrees of separation. I think that's what they call it when you're one person away from knowing somebody, something like that. Yeah. So,
but it's great we're here. So without further ado, how are you doing, David?
Man, I'm great. You know, just really embracing the journey of life, this weather in Wisconsin. I was kind of back and forth. I was going to Atlanta to kick it with my dad. He just got a crib built out there, so kind of helping him get all situated out there. And yeah, I love it. I love Wisconsin. It's hard for me to stay away for too long. So
yeah. I told myself I could never move away. I need all four seasons.
Oh yeah,
I just can't deal with just hot or cold all year round.
That winter time, like for me, the one thing that I was disappointed in last year for Christmas, my son was too. No snow on Christmas. No, yeah. I'm like, come on, dude, like. Please, just even if it was like an inch or two, like I would have been still grateful for that. But, you know, yeah, it is what it is. We got some snow in January, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I feel like we may get maybe like an inch or two maybe before spring sets in, because that's just Wisconsin for you.
Wisconsin's bipolar. All right, well, yeah, man. So other than that, how you doing? You got the music. You got your clothing line.
Yes.
Both seem to be doing very successful.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is about the brand with the clothing and stuff like that. That wasn't our initial thing. Like at first we wanted to start off focusing on just solely the music, but then we started to think about it like, wait, some people don't.
Hold up, bro. Would we get in that in the interview, dog? Oh, okay. We saving that for later.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it seems to be doing beast mode.
Oh, yeah, the people are gravitating towards it. And I think with the message, like, do what you desire, everybody can identify with it. Nobody's feeling alienated or anything like that. So that was the goal. And
D-W-Y-D.
Yes.
There you go.
D-W-Y-D. Do what you desire. A lot of people are like, do what you do. I'm like, that one was too easy, and I couldn't copyright that.
Yeah, so for sure.
I couldn't trademark that one. But do what you desire. Nobody had it. When we thought about it, I'm like, all right, perfect. Let's put it in motion so we can get it trademarked and make sure everything is good on a legal, legal standpoint.
Well, hey, all right. Well, we here. Let's jump into it.
Okay, let's do it.
Where were you born, my buddy?
Milwaukee, east side, the east side of Milwaukee. And I feel like the east side is kind of, it kind of helped mold me into the person I am, because it's so diverse on the east side. You know, you never know what you're going to get, because you're close to the campus like UWM, but then it's kind of like how Bayview is now.
Yeah.
The east side of Milwaukee was once like that. It kind of changed, but it's like a melting pot of different people. Like, I used to live next door to people who would grow their own plants and do tie-dye shirts and stuff like that. Yeah. And then it'll be other people that are just like business owners and things like that. So it was like a big melting pot. So, you know, I would say that the east side of Milwaukee, like, it kind of molded me into the person that I'm able to maneuver, excuse me, and be very diverse and work with people from all walks of life, and I can relate to people. Yeah. So,
how was your childhood?
Fun. It was hectic, because with me, my parents, they were never together. They were like separated, just off bat. Like, they were never married or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is my mom, her side of the family was the crazy, wow, rowdy side of the family. Then my dad's side was a chill, laid back. So
you,
I kind of got
like me, bro.
Yeah. So I kind of got a combination of both. Like, I knew if I was going to my mom's house, I had to prepare to fight one of my cousins, because it was going to be on that type of time. But if I went to my dad's side of the family, we just going to be kicking it, playing cans, you know, stuff like that. So got a mixture of both.
Yeah. We'll talk about cans. What type of hobbies were you in growing up?
I really liked drawing. I feel like, the reason that I do the brand and I like to create different pieces and clothing and things like that is because I like to draw, I like to create. I used to do sketches. Like, I started off sketching. Like, I'll be watching the news with my grandma, And then they'll show, like, you know how they show the picture of, like, a wanted criminal?
Yeah.
And I'll just start drawing that wanted criminal, and I show my grandma one day. I was like, look, I drew this. She was like, what were you looking at when you drew that? I was like, on the news, the guy, he bombed something.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy bombed something, and I drew it. And she was like, dude, you got a good talent, so you should stick to it. So basketball, too, like, always hooping. I used to just hoop from, like, if it was summertime, I hooped from 9 a.m. Like, my boys would come over, we'll hoop from 9 a.m. to, like, 10 p.m. Yeah. Like, it was crazy, so. Just typical fun stuff, man. Like, staying out the way. Like, that was a big thing. Just staying out the way and being happy.
Talking about your sketching, you sounded like you be at the courthouses drawing the people.
And hey, that's what I wanted to be initially. I was like, you know what? I want to be the one that draws the pictures and stuff like that. But as I grew older, I got into anime. I got into Dragon Ball. And Dragon Ball, well, Sailor Moon was the first.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah, that was the first.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sailor Moon was the first cartoon I got into that was like anime, and I was like, you know what? I want to you know, draw things like that. So yeah. I got into Sailor Moon, got introduced to Dragon Ball Z, and then from there, I used to just draw anime a lot of times. So in the future, you'll see more anime-inspired designs, but you got to crawl before you walk. So we'll get there. But
we'll get there. Well, you know, music is a big part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who were musical influences for you growing up?
Ooh, that's a tough one because there's so many different. Okay, so.
Well, you graduated in the era of, man.
A crazy. I feel like, I don't know, they call it the golden age because I was born in 88, but I got a lot of the 90s and then I got a lot of the 2000s. So.
Bro, wait a minute. I thought you was. Hey, black don't crack, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm 89, bro.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we definitely that golden era.
Mm-hmm. The golden era. That's so, for me, inspiration growing up, a lot of Tupac, a lot of Biggie, a lot of Jay-Z. But then my mom, like, my parents, they both had different tastes in music. Like, my mom was crazy about me not listening to rap music. She was like, I don't want you to be listening to all this cussing, blah, blah, blah. But my dad was like, you can listen to whatever you want. But my mom, so... I'd be listening to like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears stuff.
Boy.
Yeah. So, you know.
Get that man a clap because I did too, bro.
Yeah, they had them on the cassettes, you know, CD players, the Walkmans. So I'd be listening. I got a great, diverse catalog of different musicians, different genres and things like that.
That's beast mode, bro, because that's how I grew up. Mm-hmm. I have a sister that's a year younger than me. Shout out to my sister. Erica, I love you.
No, but shout out to sister.
You know, to be, she get all the girly albums, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, all them, and I'd
quality.
Hey, bro, I'd literally snatch them up and listen to them in my room, bro.
Dude, that stuff was quality. I swear, people don't realize the amount of work that went into those creations and how many people were behind the scenes, like helping to put that stuff together. Yeah. So, like Spice Girls, too. Shout out to Spice Girls. I really love the Spice Girls a lot.
You remember when they were doing that show on TV, O Town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was on MTV. Yeah, I remember that. Yep,
man.
Shout out to O-Town.
Oh, shout out to O-Town. What was your earliest memory of you tapping into your creative side?
Ooh, this one is easy. So when I was younger, whenever my dad would put on like music videos and stuff like that, because he put on like New Edition, Bobby Brown, something like that, and he'll bring out the camera. He had one of those cameras where you know,
Polaroid?
Yep. He had one of those cameras. So I'd be dancing and stuff like that. And then when he bought, was that a digital, like a video recorder? I don't remember what it was called. Yeah. So he bought one of those and he'd record me dancing and dress me up like in different hats and like big clothes. And then I'll be performing like for the family and stuff like that. And that's how I knew like I wanted to create my own stuff and just perform and stuff like that. So that was a big thing, putting my own outfits together and stuff like that.
Well, what held your attention in high school?
Girls. No, I'm just kidding. No, I was trying to say. But high school, sports.
Sports?
Basketball. And I was doing music in high school, too, because my dad got me into music early. So I was doing music. And music and sports kept me focused. Sometimes, you know, I would get distracted. My dad would be like, yo, you're not going to make it because you're focused on the wrong things. And I'm like, you know what? Let me lock in. And I had to lock in. And
I was chasing tail, bro. No lie.
I feel like, you know, you have to kind of experience it. And like my dad said, you got to kind of bump your head first.
Yeah.
And then you'll learn. He was like, I can tell you a million times, but you're going to bump your head on your own. So, and the funny thing is about high school, yo, I saw my first thong in high school because it was a chick sitting in front of me. I was like, what is that string? And then I found out in the future that's what that was. I'm like, wow. So yeah, dude. I was really sheltered freshman year.
Shit, mine was the fifth grade when the Thong Song came out.
Snaps. You know what? Dude, that video alone, like, man, Jennifer Lopez. Shout out to Jennifer Lopez. She was a staple in my childhood and her videos.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Shout out J-Lo, still glowing.
What career path did you, once you got to like junior, senior year, was there a career path you were setting out to do?
Yes. Computer animation. That's what I went to college for.
Oh, wow.
I eventually dropped out because it got too expensive. In that college I went to, ended up getting sued. Boom, boom.
Yeah,
it was ITT Tech.
I ended up walking into that building to do criminal justice.
They bogus.
So bogus. But once they told me how much you had to pay right off the back, I'm like,
yeah,
no.
The amount of money that I was paying was crazy. And then when they had told me, it was like, yo, you got to start coming out of pocket. That's when I said, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me, you know? So
yeah. So with your path in, you know, being creative, right? At what point did it become the main point in your path that you knew you wanted to do type of clothing designs and so such?
Once I seen that you can gain financially from your creations,
mm-hmm.
that's what made me kind of shift focus. Like, yo, I can actually create something and people would purchase it or, you know, show appreciation and be like, yo, we want this. Like the first time I ever had like that eye opener was I had a show and we had merchandise for the show and it was a completely different genre of music. Like the show was like a rap. It was a metal show,
mm-hmm.
but we were the only rap group. I used to do a rap music with a group back a long time ago. And what happened was we had gear from our brand and it sold out that night. And I was like, wait, we created merch. It sold out. We made money. We can do this full time. So I'm like, you know what? I want to focus on this. So
there you go. How would you describe your design aesthetic and like signature style?
I would say right now focusing on like loungewear, excuse me. And you know, if you work out, things like the crop top that we have, you can work out in it.
Yeah.
But you will want to have some type of sports bra underneath because you don't want to show too much. But the biggest compliment that we get is our the quality of our yoga pants. So comfort wear is really comfy. The next few pieces that we're coming out with, they're going to be all comfy wear as well. Like we're going to have the cropped hoodies for the females. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have the standard hoodies. We're going to have the cropped crew necks for the females. Then we're going to have the standard crew necks. We're going to have the joggers. We're going to have the jogger shorts. We're going to have the bucket hats. We're going to have the beanies. We're going to have the dad hats. And I think we're gonna have just some like standard shorts too, like for the ladies as well. So, you know, we gonna cover all the bases, but comfy. I want everybody to feel comfortable when they're wearing the gear, like you know, but you can still make a statement when wearing it.
Well, you have your brand. Mm-hmm. Do what you desire. DWYD.
Yes.
What inspired that?
Oh, well, it's crazy because Do What You Desire was created at a time where I was not doing what I desired in life. So it's the irony behind the whole thing is funny because it's like at the time I was working at a corporate job, I was working at Kohl's. It was like a Kohl's.
Shout out to Kohl's. No, I used to work Kohl's, there too. Yeah. They only had me seasonal one season. That was it.
Oh, you're out. Kohl's. And then I went from Kohl's and I went to Wells Fargo. It was like a mortgage company. I was doing like all type of mortgage work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was a very depressing job because I was super young and I was telling people, hey, you're losing your home. I had to tell people that stuff and help them come up with a plan and stuff. And at the end of like my work days, I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing what I want to do in life. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not doing what I desire. I was at Applebee's and I was like, I was just writing stuff out on a notebook. And I'm like, I'm not doing what I want to do in mm-hmm. life. You know, what do I desire to do? Then I was like, you know what? I need to do what I desire. And I'm like, that'll be super dope to have like a brand originally it was just going to be like a motto,
mm-hmm.
just do what you desire. It was something that came with the music. Like, this is the music and the message behind it. The music is do what you desire. So,
yeah. How do you see your music and clothing design intersecting or influencing each other?
Yeah, they play off each other pretty well. Like mm-hmm. with the music, And I'm glad you say that, because with the music that I was creating whatever I want. And I still do that. Like, to this day, I believe in creating whatever it is that I desire to create. I don't mm-hmm. create, I never created for the people. I never was like, you know, I'm gonna create a song for people that people can dance to or anything like that. I went in the studio and I'm like, this is how I'm feeling. I'm gonna create it. If people like it, I'm gonna be happy with it. But yeah. I desire to create this type of music. So then when the message, when I came with the message, do what you desire, mm-hmm. that right there was something for people who were like, you know what, I'm not really too big on rap music or mm-hmm. this type of music that he's creating, but the message behind the music, the do what you desire, I live that type of lifestyle. So I'm gonna gravitate towards that brand.
Yeah. Got you. What were barriers you faced? Because I mean, you were in music first, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were in music. So let's start off with music. When you started music, when was that standpoint of you knew you wanted to do music? How old were you?
When I wanted to do music when I knew I wanted to do music like as a full time thing, mm-hmm. I think I was like 20.
Gotcha.
20. Like I was doing music for a while, but it was more so my dad got me into it, and he was just like, you know, you write poetry, why not get in the studio? And he had
that's how I started.
Yeah, he had a makeshift studio built in the mm-hmm. basement, and we started recording nice. And stuff like that. And once people started reaching out to me that were like in the music industry, that's yeah. when I was like, maybe I got something, because for me it was just fun. And then people started reaching out, like,
yeah,
and I'm like, you know what, maybe I can really do this. So yeah, I would say in my 20s.
Got you. What were barriers you faced through that, along with the going into the designing aspect?
I would say it was more so music. The music, where there were more barriers for the music, simply because it's like, and I don't want to sound cliche when I say this, but it's just the reality. The reality is, with any industry, but especially, the music industry,
yeah,
there's a door. And that door is not that wide. And you have a bunch of people trying to go through that door at the same time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't mean that your music is not good enough. It doesn't mean that you don't look. There are certain, it's just a lot of people trying to get through that same door.
It's saturation.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. with me, a barrier I was faced with was just trying to be heard and be seen. Like, mm-hmm. how can I be heard and be seen? And it was tough for me because I was younger. So I was like 16, 17, getting booked to perform at clubs, and then we'll get to the door, and they're like, you're too young. I'm like, yo, we are supposed to be performing. They're like, you're too young, you can't even get in. We're not. So
damn.
Stuff like that, like, it was crazy.
How would you describe your creative process with music versus design?
Okay. So with the design thing, it's easier for me because I'll be just sitting at home watching TV. I'll see a commercial or something like that, and just the colors or something like that, like the message, yep. the song, it'll be so vibrant to me, and I'll just pause it and I'll just start drawing up sketches, and then I'll get on my MacBook, start drawing out more designs, coming up with different things. Like, I came up with this one design. It was literally based off of like a Pizza Hut commercial. It was the colors, it was the song, and it motivated me and inspired me to create something. I can't say what it is because the product is going to drop this year, but mm-hmm. I'll explain once it drops. Like, this was inspired by this commercial.
Yeah.
Versus when the music, sometimes I can get writer's block. So like I'll be in the crib just chilling. Producers will send me a pack over of beats. And I'll listen to the beats and nothing hits me. I'm just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I'll have a moment in my life where it'll be something personal, where like a family member may pass, or I have a conversation with a friend about something that's going on in his personal life. Then I go back to those beats. And next thing you know, I have something yep. in my mind. Like, I'm okay, I can write about this.
Isn't that crazy how emotion brings out the best, probably the best work you'll
the best.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it started off with a fifth grade teacher introducing me to poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into me, you know, jotting down just poetic rhymes.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, running into someone who taught me how to format it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I formatted it,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like having somebody introduce you to it, and then you kind of like fall in love with the process mm-hmm. and how. Yep. The end product is, you're like, dang, like, I created this, like, I came up with this all off of emotion, and people
yeah.
gravitate towards it because it's the emotion.
It's
they
deep.
Can identify with that, like, oh, mm-hmm. I felt that way before, or I feel this way. So yeah, I love that.
How do you balance your time between creating music and designing?
Oh, that's tough. That's a tough one, because I'm also a father too, and I got a 6-year-old, and his attention span is just Bluey and all of this stuff. So I got to make
Bluey,
sure.
Bluey, baby. I got a 3-year-old. I got 2 10-year-olds and a 14-year-old, bro.
Oh, man. You trying to build a team.
Hey, the dream team.
For real.
But you got a 6-year-old. That's a cool age. I'm going to say that right there, oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait till my son gets to that age.
Yeah, 6. That's an interesting age. So how I balance it, a lot of times I'll bring my son to the studio with me. Yeah. He's been to the studio with me, just chills and eat some chips and chill like that. But I try to, because my father's a big part of the company as well and a big part of the brand, we'll try to set meetings like once or twice a week. And then when we do that, I'll tell him like, yo, I'm going to set aside 2 hours or an hour just to come up with some color schemes or different designs or different products like that. With the music, that's just here and there. It's like whenever, like I can be asleep and then I'll have like a dream with a melody or something like that. And I'll wake up and just jot it down and it's easy for music. Like,
there you go, man. How do you feel Milwaukee has attributed to your success?
A lot. I feel like, you know what, Milwaukee has been like, I know a lot of times people say they don't get support from their home, but for me, I swear it was like the my city was the biggest push to get me to where I'm at now, like to how I have like connections with certain people that are have never been to Milwaukee or that I brought to Milwaukee before, like in the industry and stuff like that. Milwaukee has been a big, big major part. Like if I say I'm gonna throw an event, everybody show up. If I say I'm gonna do like an album listening or something, like I did an album listening party, crazy. I did a video release party, crazy. Everything, the support here is tremendous. So when I say, I feel like if you're an artist or you're a creator in Milwaukee, all you have to do is give people something good to support. Because if you give them something that's worth supporting, they will. You won't have to complain, nobody supports me, blah, blah, blah. No, give them something that's worth their support and they're going to support you. Like,
I second simple. That. I mean, with this platform, man.
I see it.
People like you, man. I mean, like, you know, the city really believes in it. The way it's pushing. I'm breaking ground with, you know, everyone to me is the same. You get me? You feel me? But there are like milestones that are being hit at a rate that usually don't come around for people. So I got to say Milwaukee definitely has backed me. I love this city. This city has taught me how to survive on my own. It's taught me what it is to just take pride in who you are, you know?
Yeah, and I can see the support is crazy. I remember I went to your page. I was like, holy cow. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. Like, it's a whole different world. It's like you got your own world. You know what I mean? I think that's dope.
Hey, man, it's the spearheads.
Yeah, I like that. Like the Swifties, spearheads.
The spearheads. through your music and design, who have you collaborated with?
I haven't collaborated with many people when it comes to design, besides like models and things like that, like local models and things like that of that nature. Like they'll take some pictures in the brand or we'll put together a photo shoot. Artist wise in the city, I haven't collaborated with many people. I feel like timing is everything. So like I'm going to do some collaborations with people. Oh, Wave Chappelle. I've done a collaboration.
Wave been
with him.
On, yeah.
That's my boy. Like me and him been locked in since he was like way, way younger. So seeing his progression is always awesome to see. So me and him had a song. And I would say that's really the only artist in the city that I've collaborated with that I can come up with off top. If I forgot or we didn't drop the song, don't be mad at me because, you know.
It is happens. What it is. I mean, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? You've been a part of the journey. So it is what it is. What are milestones and highlights that stand out for you? Through this journey. Ooh. Through music and design.
Okay, so big thing for me was when I dropped, well, this is, I'll start off with the brand. So with the brand, I remember it was Halloween 2021. I wanted to do something different for the brand. I've always stuck to like basic colors, like black and white, just keeping it simple. I believe in the KISS rule when it comes to when you first starting. So I was like, you know, Halloween is coming up. Let me cook up a hoodie. So I came up with a hoodie. It was like bright orange and it was like the white Do As You Desire DWID across the chest. And I did it for pre-orders. I'm like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to put my faith in pre-orders. And I did a pre-order for it and it sold out. Like it went way crazier than what I thought that. And I was like, you know what? That was a breakthrough moment for me because that was my first time ever dropping something and just selling out right away. Like I didn't even have a hoodie for myself. That's how crazy it went. And for the music, my biggest milestone for the music has been two times. the first time I ever hit the charts overseas, I hit the iTunes charts overseas. It was number 2 for my song called My Last, produced by Big Germ. He's like a producer for Mac Miller, in-house wow. producer for Taylor Gang. So shout out to Big Germ. So yeah, that hit the charts.
So that's South- who you collaborated with, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, but he not from Milwaukee, though. So
no, like, it just, you know what I mean? Collaborations, man.
Yeah, I collaborated with him. I would say that was a big thing because it hit the South Africa charts overseas. It was number 2 on the hip hop charts, and then it was number 9 on the just all genres of music.
Wow.
And then my second plaque I got was for my song called Cologne. And that one hit number 13. It broke the top 20 in United Kingdom. So that was major. Like just having 2 plaques in my crib, like seeing mm-hmm. that knowing that it was my hard work that made it happen. That was it was beastie. Because I didn't think that could happen for me. Because when I first started doing music, it was like in the MySpace era. So mm-hmm. all of my fans were coming from the United Kingdom. They were from overseas, and people would be like locally. A lot of people were like, "Yo, that's cool that you got fans overseas, but what can they do for you?"
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but the whole time I was just like, I don't even care what you're talking about, because for me, it's a supporter is a supporter, so whatever. Yeah. So now it's like it all panned out because those same people will see me and be like, "Bro, congrats!" I'm like, I already knew that was gonna happen. Though, like I knew
that's
the path that I was taking was gonna work for me. It may not, you may not see it, but
you envisioned it. Yeah, you manifested it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? What drives the ambition? What the motivation? How do you create that?
For me, it's a form of self-expression. Whenever I create anything, it's me expressing myself. I feel like the reason I don't have to go to a therapist or anything like that is because whenever I'm in the studio, whenever I'm in my living room creating mock-ups and things like that for new pieces for the brand and stuff, that's me expressing myself, you know. A lot of times, I feel like in human nature, we need to express ourselves. But as men, a lot of times, we want to keep it bottled up. And people say, "You okay? You good? Everything?" You're just like, "Yeah, I'm good. Everything good, straight, whatever." But when you have an outlet to express yourself and you know that it's not going to be held over your head in the future, it makes it easier for you to express yourself. So that's why with my music, I love to, it's therapeutic for me because nobody's gonna hold that over my head like versus you. And I'm not saying this happens with everybody, but mm-hmm. it's a controversial topic where us men will express ourselves to certain people thinking that we have their trust and they have our best interests, only for it to be thrown in our face in the yep. future. And then you'd be like, "Dang, I told you that out of a," you know what I'm saying? Like,
facts.
So for me, the music and my brand is a safe space yep. for me to express myself.
Got you. What's most important for you in the connection when you make with consumers in music and design?
It's super important. I like to be hands-on. I like to be hands-on everything. For example, when I first started dropping the gear, people would say, "Hey, do you have this size? Like, these sizes are kind of small." And I'll talk to them directly like, "Hey, the manufacturer that I'm going through and the budget that I have, they're not allowing me to make these yeah. bigger sizes. It's nothing against you personally." So, but me just making that connection and talking to somebody made them feel better. Like, "Oh, he's not alienating me. He doesn't feel mm-hmm. like I'm not worthy of having or wearing his brand. He just can't afford it right now." So
yeah.
you got to crawl before he walks. And for the music, I'm always open to creative criticism. So let's say a person says, "This song sounds like this," or "This is trash." I'm always going to respond and be like, "Okay, what would have made it better in your mm-hmm. opinion? What was trash about it?" Like, I'm all about
open.
That.
Yeah, man. You got to be open to that to evolve, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about projects you've had.
Okay.
Past, recent, anything you're working on now, anything okay. coming out.
Yeah, the focus right now is music videos right now. So I'm dropping a new music video every month. I'm going to drop a new video. I just dropped a video.
The music video you got out right now, I saw the views on that, and I'm just
okay,
like,
yeah.
God, you want to say, go ahead, flex hard.
Oh, yeah. Just hit 31,000 on my song for Told You. So that the funny thing is about that song is it's very personal for me. I was going through a dark time, mm-hmm. and I had a one-on-one conversation with my mom, one-on-one conversation with my dad, and just talk to them about how I was feeling at the time, because I was feeling like the music and my brand was just like coming to an end. I was just like, you know what? I feel like I peaked because I was too busy paying attention to what everybody else was doing. And I yep. was like, you know what? Maybe I peaked already. Maybe I'm at the age where I peaked. So that video means a lot to me. So it was super simple. I shot it on the east side. Shout out to my boy DH Films, shot by DH. We shot that on the east side, and it was a heartfelt moment for me. As far as projects I'm working on a brand new project called No Advances, Just Chances. It's produced by Big Jerm from Taylor Gang. Of course, we collab a lot. Yeah. R&B Justice from Taylor Gang. Ricky P from Taylor Gang. I'm cool with a lot of Taylor Gang people. So that they're like always, they got a spot in my heart. They always send me dope beats and plug me on the sound. So I got that dropping, and it's hosted by DJ Motormain, who's part of Taylor Gang. He's a DJ. He was on the road with Wiz a lot.
Man, when they get in chain, you dog.
Right. You know, that's crazy. A lot of people have said that, but I'm always trying to focus on making sure that I carve my own lane and identity, because I don't want to be up under anybody else like that. Mm-hmm. But at one time, it definitely did pique my interest. Like, ooh, that would be dope. But I'm just like, you know what? Then I have to be under it. I'm going to have to probably work twice as hard. Yep. And I'm like, I'm already from Milwaukee. And, you know, being from Milwaukee, you got to work super hard to be seen. But I feel like musically, Milwaukee is getting like, this is the biggest I've ever seen.
I've been telling Milwaukee people artists for a while now, even on this platform, there's a bubble right now. And it's getting ready to pop. And when it pops, you better be ready. You better be ready.
So you ain't got to get ready. Be ready, because it's coming. Like, I've seen it. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's exciting for music. It's exciting for platforms like the one I got. It's exciting for, I mean, sports. I mean, like, to have Damian Lillard in our lineup with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's just a monster beastie combination. Like, you can't even beat that. Like,
you can't.
The amount of eyes that's on Milwaukee and Wisconsin right now, I feel like if you have anything that you want to get out there, this is the perfect time to really take that leap of faith and not be afraid to put yourself out there and put your you know, whatever you have, your creation out there for the world.
Well, don't you have a new song that you have coming out?
Oh, yeah. New music video for my song Cologne, when I hit the chart. So I got a new music video shot by DH again. We shot that downtown somewhere. It was like in a studio, a Northern Light studio. Awesome studio. Shot that. My girl Jen is in it, one of my homegirls. It was her first time. I told her, I was like, yo, don't even be nervous. All you got to do is be on camera. Like, it's easy when you're in a music video where it's not like no wild stuff going on. All you got to do is just be pretty. You basically getting paid to just look pretty on camera. It's really that simple. So shot that. That's going to be dropping before the end of this month, because, like I said, I want to make sure to do a music video once a month. And then what I plan on doing, I came up with this idea last year. What I plan on doing is dropping a new project once a month, but I'm going to drop it on Bandcamp. Now, for those who don't know what Bandcamp is, that's where if you drop it, you get the money directly, so your fans can pay for the project and you'll get the funds right there to whatever account you link to it. It's not like if you drop it on Spotify, you get the one penny per stream or something. It's not like that. So I decided to switch. Like, for my hardcore people that really rock with the music, I decided to give them a platform where they can just get it direct through me. Like, no more middleman. Like, but my big project, I'm gonna drop that everywhere. But for the little EPs, like the four songs, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just drop it on Bandcamp, get the funds directly, and that way the people can have access to the music forever, because you can download the MP3 and have it on your device at all times versus Apple can just remove it. So
you hear this, people? That's a love. Where do you see yourself in the next five?
Next five. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think I'm going to still be doing this. But I really love to create. And like I said, it's like an outlet for me. A lot of times people have said, like, when I get 25, when I get 26, I'm done doing it. But for me, it's like, I feel like I can do whatever I want to do for how long, however long I feel like doing it. So as long as I'm able to, just like for basketball, because I play basketball all the time. Anybody want to play me, just let me know where to meet you. We can play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about that. But for even for, like, basketball and stuff like that, I feel like LeBron James, like, I'm going to keep going until the end just stop, because I'm alive and I love the experience. So I see myself still creating music, still creating pieces for the brand, but I also want to help guide others and help give them opportunities. I feel like a lot of times people get, I don't want to say people get like selfish or stingy like that, but a lot of times people don't want to spread the knowledge and share the wealth with other people to help the younger generation come up. And I believe in always giving shining a light on the younger generation and helping them level up, and so they don't have to go through the same things that we have we had to go through as far as like barriers and stuff like that.
Well, since you're on that topic, here's the what we've been building it up for.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to aspiring musicians and aspiring designers?
Bro, you really do this interview and stuff, because that just led in so perfect. That was smooth. Ooh, that was smooth.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Okay. That was smooth. That was real smooth transition. For any aspiring creators, very simple yet cliche. I feel like carving your own lane, like having your own lane and not paying too much attention to the outside noise. Like if you have a vision, stick with that vision. The thing that I messed up on a lot, like in my journey, which I wouldn't say is like a mess up, just like a bump in the road, but I would have a path set, like I'll write it out, like this is what I'm gonna do, this is what I'm gonna focus on. And then somebody like get in the way, like an obstacle. Like for example, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be independent. I'll never forget. I was like, I'm gonna be independent, I'm gonna focus on being independent and just I don't care about the label or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, when I was locked in, focusing, I had dropped my first music video and it was doing crazy numbers. And this is before you can get shadow banned and stuff like that on Instagram. So it was doing crazy numbers. And I remember somebody, this was like in 2019, I think, somebody from Warner Brothers reached out to me. Now, I didn't even think it was real. I was just like, you know, whatever. And they was like, yo, the message just kept sending my DMs. And he was like, bro, I'm serious. I'm like, well, I'm not even tripping on it. Then I did some research and ended up being a real person.
Yeah.
Ended up getting flown out to LA, met up with Warner Brothers, and I played my music for them. And they were like, yo, they're like, we like this music. They was like, we like the music that you played us. They was like, but based on how you look, we wouldn't even let you drop that. And it was like, we want you to drop like some Meek Mill, T Grizzly type stuff. You know, you got a beard, you black, we want you to be like angry. Like there's like all these love songs, we gonna get that to somebody else. It's like, you can do a pub deal, which you can do a publishing deal. And I was just like, the crazy thing is I left LA disappointed, because I'm like, everybody was banking on me. Like, we know you gonna sign, you know you gonna sign a deal. So when I came back, I'm like, I didn't sign. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they wasn't rocking with everything that I had. They told me to switch it up. And I was like, that was a disappointing moment for me, but it was a lesson, because I'm like, bro, had I just stayed the path, stayed the course, and just stay independent and did it how I wanted to, then I wouldn't have to do all of that. And because that slowed me down, because I didn't drop another video for like almost a year, because I was so focused. I'm like, I got to make sure I'm prepared for LA. I got to make sure that I get this deal. Like, you know, but had I focused, I would have probably hit the chart sooner. I would have probably found my own lane sooner. So stick to the path that you got. Don't worry about what everybody else doing, because one person's blueprint and one person's story is not the same for you. You never know what they got going on in they situation. So don't compare.
Man. Well, I will say I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me, for real. It's an honor.
Hey, man, you know, I just want to see my city flourish, our city flourish. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, and for me, for when I have guests like you come on and show support to me, and I show support back, that's what it's about. It's like this unifying force. Like I said, there's a bubble in this city. I want to help as many people as I can get their voice out.
Oh, yeah.
So that when this does pop, I mean, this is a great way to network. It's about that. It's about just unity within the city. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, bro. Like, I appreciate everybody that, what's the word, referred me as well.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
To everybody that, you know, y'all know who y'all are. I appreciate y'all.
Get it. Before we do go, how can people get a hold of you?
You can contact me and follow me on Instagram. That's at America's Addiction, America's with a K, so AmericasAddiction on Instagram, or Twitter at America's Addict. Couldn't fit the whole thing, so at America's with a K, Addict. Or you can check out the brand on Instagram. That's Official DWID. It'll pop right up for you. Follow. I do follow back. We're going to start doing giveaways and things like that as the spring and the summer come. So check me out. Oh, Facebook too. David Kelly, find me on Facebook. I'll add you. I share a bunch of wild stuff. Sometimes it's wild, sometimes it's not. That's just for a lot of times I just be talking crazy on there. So yeah.
Well, again, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you being a part of this journey, letting me be a part of yours.
Oh, for sure. Appreciate this, man. I'm excited. You can hey, I'll come back anytime. Just let me know.
Oh, for sure. Definitely, we'll talk more about that after.
Oh, but, for sure.
With that being said, Spearhead out.